Hello and welcome to episode 297 of the In Squash podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Gibson, and we're really happy to have back on Dimitri Steinmann. He's just fresh off a really good result, getting to the final there at the German Open. That was the biggest best result for him in a tournament of that magnitude. And we're looking to talk to him about his return to the game since his suspension back in the U.S. Open. I believe it was last October with that incident with Timmy Brownell. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but also we're going to talk about his return to the game. And except for a bit of a blip there at the Canadian event that he played, and he's been playing some very good squash. He's in Egypt right now, and he's preparing for the El Gouna event, which is coming up. And he'll be playing first round, I believe, against Vargas in the first round. And so it sets up well for him. I think he has another match after that if he were to win with someone of his right around his ranking, and then potentially Mustafa Assal thereafter. So looking forward to catching up with Dimitri. He was on the podcast a couple of years back. He's been through a lot, and we're looking forward to hearing what he has to say and how he's come through it all. But before we get into that, let's talk about Open Squash, our great sponsor. We're growing the game. Making squash more accessible and more affordable for everyone is their mission. And right now, Open Squash sponsors the very best in the game, including recent winner of the German Open on the women's side, world number 6, Gina Kennedy, world 11, Victor Kwan. And he's also making, been playing some good squash of late. He's up there. It's tough for him being in that at that top 10, top 15 part of the game. So many excellent players at this point. World number 92, Hannah Craig, and the very best in the game right now. And he's into the final of Black Ball against Mustafa Assal as we speak. World number 1, Ali Farag. In fact, Ali, along with Harvard head coach Mike Way, have taken on the roles of senior advisors at Open Squash, and that bodes well for what they have going forward for them, especially in terms of their great summer camps that they have on offer at the moment. The camps will be headed by the aforementioned legendary Harvard head coach Mike Way, former world number 1 and Drexel head coach Johnny White, along with Gina Victor and several other highly respected coaches, including Amir Khalifa and Peter Creed, who are going to be on this podcast in a few weeks' time. Looking forward to having them on. And don't forget to check out www.opensquash to see what summer camps they have on offer that fit your needs, or the junior that is in your family that might want to take on those camps as well. Also, Open Squash is very excited to be partnering up with American Squash Court manufacturer Sunrise Courts. Jordan Aldrich and his team at Sunrise will be ready to help you with your squash court needs. Check out the website at sunrise-courts.com. That's sunrise-courts.com, and avail yourself of a free court setup estimate, or ask them any questions that you might have concerning squash court setup. That's sunrise-courts.com. Now, here we go. Episode 297. He's back on the podcast. He's playing some of his best squash right now. Actually, he's in Egypt preparing for El Gouna. It's Dimitri Steinmann. All right. Well, Dimitri, it's fantastic to have you back on the podcast. You were on a couple of years back. It was sort of during that period where you'd been playing some really good squash, and you'd sort of broken through a bit into the top 30, and you're back there now. And as I know, you're preparing now for El Gouna. So before we get into everything that we're going to talk about today, how are you feeling? And I know you've got Vargas in round 1 of El Gouna. So how excited are you about playing in that event?
I mean, I'm always excited going to El Gouna. It's one of the nicest tournaments on the calendar. It's right on the beach, basically, where you play, and it's a brilliant setup for squash enthusiasts in general. I feel good. I've been playing some really good squash recently, and feel like I'm on the right track. And that's where I'm looking forward with a very positive mindset, and See where it goes, but I'm definitely I'm excited for Aguna for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like a great venue. I've got a few friends of mine who have traveled to Alguna from here, the UAE. They go there on vacations a lot, and they say it's absolutely amazing. But yeah, you've got Vargas in the first round, and then I think the draw sets up reasonably well for you. I mean, you've got a couple of guys that you might have to play that are around your ranking in the next round, and then I think perhaps it's maybe a Saul after that. So, what do you think of the draw and your chances early on?
I mean, it is a good draw, but I don't try to think too much of what is possible or with who I'm gonna play, or I'll just try to focus on my next opponent and take it step by step and see how it goes. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So that's
Yeah.
what I'm doing. So I didn't look. I mean, I know my draw, but I'm not planning like far ahead when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's smart. Absolutely. I thought I'd ask, but Vargas, he's your first round opponent. Have you guys played before? I know he's a lot like a lot of you guys, really trying to work hard, trying to bust into that top 20 in the world. So it's not going to be easy, is it?
No, for sure not. No. I mean, we played recently in the Optasia Open in Wimbledon, and I won that match free love, but it was tough and a hard piece of work. So, yeah, no. But I mean, yeah, exactly. Like that's what we all try and do. We all work hard. We all try our best to improve, and he's certainly right up there. No, I'll try my best.
Yeah, for sure.
On
You got to
Friday.
stay hungry, don't you? Everyone's hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
you gotta stay hungry, that's for sure. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the key.
Definitely. Now let's take a look back. I mean, we're going to talk a bit about the situation that happened back in October a bit later. But since then, and I've noticed, maybe aside from your event in Canada, you've been playing some really solid squash. Most recently there in the German Open, you got to the final. That's probably I would say your best result to date in an event of that magnitude. You lost in the final to Yao, a former world junior champion, a guy who I'm assuming would have been very, very hungry because he hadn't had some of the best results leading up to that event. But it was your first divine final in event of that magnitude. So how happy were you with your play in Germany?
To be honest, I was just happy that I was playing some good squash, and obviously winning is always nice. How should I say? Like, I try not to get too much. Like, it's been only one event, right? So, I don't try to get overexcited at all, and just. I reached the final. I played some really good squash, and I'll just it's a positive to take that the things I'm working on are the right things, and I'm on in the right direct like on the right path, and that's what I'm trying to like look at it that way. So I don't want to like I didn't go out like for instance I didn't go out like crazy and celebrate it till 7 a.m.
No.
I actually drove home from Hamburg to Zurich the night like after the match. So I think yeah no I'll take it as a positive for sure, as a verification, so to speak. And yeah, I mean, it gives you confidence going forward for sure.
Yeah, I guess, also, I guess you could probably learn from someone like Yao himself. I mean, I've had him on the podcast. He just seems like a really kind of professional. He's very, he's a straight shooter, works hard, but he'd been struggling leading up to that event. So, how impressed were you with his play during that week and how he came through and won the event?
I mean, it certainly impressed me the way he played against Joel. It was very steady. It was very calm and collected. Hardly any errors. I was surprised with his physicality, to be honest, that he was able to back up that well in the final as well, because it was a tough match against Joel for sure. He's proven himself to be the best player that week, and that's why he won the tournament. And I mean, we're friends off court, and we after the final we shared a non-alcoholic beer together, so I think that goes a long way. So
Non-alcoholic beer. Is that the usual for you? Are you a non-alcoholic person during the season these days, or
I
do you get
am in
out for a
general.
few vice beers every now and then?
Yeah, no, it was an alcohol-free Weiss beer actually. So no, that's the one thing. I try to be as professional as I can. Obviously, if there's something major to celebrate, like last year when we won the bronze medal at the Europeans or World Teams, obviously that's a different setting because you're in a team as well, etc. But I don't drink usually, like. I hardly drink, so no, that's the usual. So I'll try to stay away from alcohol.
Right on. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. It's not going to help you, especially if you've got a few events coming up. But in the fourth game, in the match against Yao, you could have easily been up 2-1. I thought. And what about in the fourth game? Was it legs, or was it a combination of maybe disappointment not being up 2-1, or was it just Yao playing really well?
No, I mean, I think it was 2-all in the fourth, and I had a short lapse of concentration, and maybe like a slight dip in physicality as well. And Yao noticed that straight away and capitalized on it. I think he raced away to like 7-2 or something. And I mean, those are the things which I have to be more aware of to maybe. If that comes up, that first of all it's not visible, and second, those lapses maybe don't occur in the first place. So, I think that was the big difference. I made mistakes, and he was able to capitalize on it with accurate play, and forced errors out of me. In that patch and ran away with the match and the tournament. So, that's how I see it, or how I or my team sees it.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit frustrating for you then. I mean, obviously you're a very fit guy. You're a physical player, and I think that's one of your strengths, isn't it? So to allow maybe a mental lapse to cause maybe a loss of a few points, despite being physically pretty capable of continuing and playing good squash.
I mean, I wouldn't say frustrating. It's just, it shows where you can work on and improve on it. I wouldn't say frustrating is an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, yeah, obviously, in the moment, you're not happy that you're losing, of course. But like, if you like look at it afterwards, it's just, you don't lose. It's just you learn. So it's, I mean, the term, I don't like the term losing in general. So it's, I don't really know where you want to go with this one, so
Yeah, no, I guess I was just saying, being fit, being strong at that point, obviously, it's got to be one of your strengths. So,
oh yeah, for sure,
yeah.
yeah, definitely.
So to be, to put yourself in that situation in the final, it's a good thing. So, like you said, maybe you learn from that situation and move forward, right?
Exactly. That's what it's all about now. Like, trying to learn from mistakes, or like if things didn't really work out in a way I wanted, then that's what it is. There's no time to be frustrated or negative at all. So yeah.
That's good. That's a good way of approaching it, Dimitri, in my humble opinion. But so let's take a look back, if you don't mind. Since in my estimation, as I mentioned, since your return from your suspension, I guess it would have been back. I forget what event it was in the. Was it Windy City? That's when you returned, wasn't it? More or less.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
Exactly.
I mean, would you agree that since your return, you've been playing some of your best squash? And just wondering what impact when you look back, what impact did the time away, did the suspension itself have on you, and I guess therefore on your game?
I mean, when it became clear that I was going to be suspended, I tried. I mean, it was right after Christmas, I think. I immediately tried to see the positives in it and see, all right, I might not be able to play PSA tournaments for 8 weeks now, but I also I can I faced couple of niggles towards the end of last year physically. I was able to get them sorted, and yeah, I wasn't happy with the way I was playing squash anyways in that period towards the end of 2023, but and then I said, oh, like maybe it's don't look at it as a punishment, maybe look at it as a blessing. You now have 8 weeks to find your way back, and that's I feel like looking back now, that was exactly the right thing to do. I didn't want to be angry and say, oh, why did I get suspended, why not, and that was just a fact, and I couldn't change it anymore, and I just wanted to do the best I could to make use of the time, really. So I was able, to find my way again on the squash court and be healthy. And yeah, that's how I remember it, actually.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I watched the match, and did you? Obviously, I felt it was. I mean, nothing against you. I thought the suspension was relatively fair. But did you think it was fair?
First, let's get some. I did something wrong. Listen, like I did, it was something I didn't that you're not supposed to do as a professional. It was a lapse of keeping composure, and just it was not. Let's just say it was not the right thing. I apologized online, on my Instagram for what I did. Obviously, I think I deserve a punishment, to be honest. To say if I deserve to be suspended or not, it's not up to me to decide. Because if you ask someone, do you deserve this punishment? Subjectively, they're always going to say no. Like, but I mean, it did me good in hindsight. So yeah, I mean, it was just something which happened along my path, I guess. So, because I had no influence on the decision anyway. So, like, it was not me who decided, oh, I want to be suspended for 2 months, right? So, but the fact of the matter is, I did something which was wrong. I owned up to it and took it on the chin, and
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you owned up to it. You apologized, and you move forward.
that's the challenge as a human being to grow and be able to deal with those kind of situations in a way, because it's not like I don't want to make it as an excuse for my behavior at all. To yeah, be an adult and deal with. I mean, those things will keep appearing, but I'm not a like I won't be able to deal with them the way I dealt with them. So that's something I think that's what my comment is on that, I
Yeah,
guess.
good. I mean, that makes sense. And hopefully, when things sort of get intense like that again, you know how to approach it a bit better next time, and that's good for you going forward. Now, Dimitri, last time we were on, you talked about your family. I think both your parents are or they were Olympians back in the day, and we haven't spoken since the announcement of LA 28. So obviously, you're looking towards that opportunity to participate and represent Switzerland in the LA Olympics. So, how excited are you about the potentially keeping this family tradition alive?
I mean, yeah, it's a childhood dream come true. I always wanted to go to the Olympics, even before I started playing squash. Like, that was my objective. And when I picked squash and realized that probably at the time never get into the Olympics, it was a big. I still remember it. Like, I was like 13 or 14 when I realized I might never go. That was a big, like, sort of disappointment, but the same thing, like it just relighted a fire in me immediately, which like when I heard the news, like, because I actually, funny thing is that I was at my lowest point of my career right after that incident at the
Well, that was
US Open.
October. It was right around when you were
Exactly.
suspended.
No, I mean, just when it happened, right? So and I think a week later it got, the announcement came that we're in the Olympics. To be honest, that really like kept me going, really, like for the rest of the year, because I just knew, all right, listen, this is what you always dreamed of, and this is your chance, right? So that's what that's I mean, I can't really put it in words how much it means to me, but the
So
world, really.
your parents were Olympians. I forget what sport. Some I want to say volleyball and gymnastics, but I could be way off with that. Your
No, a bit. Yeah, not my mother did synchronized swimming,
Oh,
and
okay, yeah, that's why I'm
my
way off
fa
then. Sorry.
yeah, and my father did modern pentathlon.
Okay.
So
So how
yeah.
how excited are they? I mean, what
Just as excited
yeah,
as
I would
me.
imagine, yeah.
Funny thing is, my father's first Olympic Games were in '84 in LA as well. So it would be quite cool if I get to go there 44 years later in LA as well. So yeah, I'm sure he they will co both come and cheer me on if I'll get there, for sure.
Right, and the Swiss team actually, I mean, right now you've got, as you mentioned, you came in third in the European Championships, and you've got some good talented young guys right there. So that's exciting in and of itself too.
Yeah, for sure. No, we have a bright future ahead. Which is I mean, only, how do you say? I mean, yeah, it's gonna be, I'm sure we can develop even further as a squash nation. And I mean, there's no real limitations to what we can do as a team at the team events, or I think we're in a really good spot right now, and yeah, I think the future looks bright.
Yeah, great. I know you used to work with Rob Owen for a bit there, and now I just heard this recently that you're working with one of my favorite players of all time, a Canadian fellow Canadian. I know him a little bit, Jonathan Power. So just wondering what led to you leaving Rob Owen's camp, and how amazing is it to be working with a living legend, Jonathan Power?
Maybe, I mean, to be honest, like my main coach is Simon Rosner.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna, yeah, I noticed that he's been in you've I've known Tim on your Instagram a bit, so apologies there to Simon. Also, Simon, part of your team. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, all good, all good. Jonathan is more of like a mentor, like I would say, mentor friend. So he's
Well,
I
talk about
mean
Simon first of all, because I mean he's one of the all-time greats as well, and we all just loved watching him play. Brought, a different mentality to the game, and he was very, very he worked really hard at his craft, and he was fit and did things the right way. So what's it been like working with him now?
I mean, it's been nothing but great, really. We worked on a number of things, mostly just my positive play to the front two corners, utilizing all four corners of the court, using my speed not only to defend but to attack as well, which I think started really to show in the last couple of tournaments in London, Sydney, and Hamburg. We talk daily on the phone and exchange our thoughts, and I see him almost on a weekly basis for a couple of days. He's only a 2.5 hours drive away from where I live, in Würzburg, Germany. So yeah, and I mean I've known Simon since I was 13, 14, really. Like he played for my club in Swiss League, and and also from my training days back in Paderborn. Like we're just really good friends anyways, and it was a sensible move because I wanted to spend more time at home as well, and with him being that close, I can always drive up at night, spend there a day, and then come back the next day. So it's really that's what. Yeah, what I really appreciate. And obviously, Simon is just yeah, he's just the best guy. Like he's, whenever I have something to talk about, he's always there. And yeah, whenever. So I think it's just important to surround yourself with the right people, and the right results will come, in my mind.
So, do you guys get I remember speaking to Simon about those really exciting training sessions outdoors in the forest of Paderborn, the tree chopping training sessions. Is that stuff that he imposes on you in terms of your training? Do you get out there and break out the axe and start chopping down
No.
trees?
No, I don't know. What I do is we mostly get on we mostly do on court stuff. He tells like we if I do physical exercise, I do it at home. I don't, but I mean, yeah, we both established that physicality isn't really my issue, nor is explosivity or flexibility or whatever. Like it's not really my deal. Like so we really just focused on squash, and we'll see how it goes in the summer and what the plan is. But there might be some going back to the roots and doing little sprints in the forest. I don't know what he has in mind, but for sure.
I guess, yeah, off season, when you're away from when the tour takes a bit of a break, you could head up to Paderborn there and do some of your old Simon Rosen
Maybe.
training.
I mean, I don't know if he told you, but he was always second fastest up that hill because
I
he was
remember,
always
yeah.
like
I think we talked about that the last time you were on. Yeah, you were always a few maybe 10, 15 seconds ahead of those guys.
It was but I wouldn't be surprised if Simon forgot to mention
No. He wouldn't want to reveal the details like that. No.
No. But I'm happy to now. Now when he's all done, I think I
Yeah.
can.
Yeah, well yeah, he can just observe now and he won't. Yeah. So I was going to ask you as well Dimitri, there've been a few rule changes of late, and one of them is I think for a lot of tournaments they're going to the best of three. I wanted to ask you about that.
I mean, I think it's a great setting for especially like let's say the gold level tournaments because you can it's a limited time frame. You won't have if you have 8 matches on one day, best of three, the whole time it takes, it's significantly shorter than if it's a best of five. So you can basically put it all in like one big session from let's say 4 p.m. till I don't know 8:30 p.m., 9 p.m. I think that is a massive benefit, especially if you look at like the venues you have in Ali Pali, for example, where people just want to go after out like after work and just have a good time and just watch squash. And you have a lot of different styles you can see, and it's high octane squash. I don't mind best of three actually. I like best of three, so it's a cool format. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, I think other people I've talked to as well, they've mentioned the fact that the once you get to the semis and the finals where it goes back to best of five, you've got fresh relatively fresh legs, and which means a higher quality squash in the finals as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. No, I totally agree. So I think it's an exciting system, and yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure
Just
if
got to
there are
remember
any.
to get started quickly, right?
Yeah, exactly. You have to be ready from. I mean, you always have to be ready, but you have to be ready from the very first point, and yeah, do your absolute best. Yeah, there's no if you let up just a little bit. Then yeah, you're done. You know, you're out of the tournament.
Brilliant. Okay, another thing which is very obvious if you just watching some of the events recently, most recently the black ball event. Officials are limiting the amount of back talk from players. Personally, I think that's a good thing. We don't want long-winded conversations with officials debating points, but I also think that players should have the opportunity to express their thoughts on a let or a situation. So what are your thoughts on the new move to limit what players can say to officials?
I mean, it's a tough question because obviously you don't want to have a minute long conversation between players about calls and whatnot. But I think it's a bit it has to be a bit of a middle ground because I mean, squash culture like there will I mean if think about Jonathan for example, some of the comments he made they were never like in a bad way or anything, but they were entertaining. So, if you're gonna take that away, you won't have any sort of characters anymore. Like, I don't know if that's the idea of the whole thing or whatever, but I mean, sometimes you just say things out of impulse, you know, and it's because that's how it is. But, and if you then always get punished for it, then I personally feel like as long as it's nothing disrespectful or, in any sense, in any way, like cursing or something, I think there should be an allowance that you can say a sentence. But I mean, otherwise you can start communicating with them in sign language or something. I don't know, like, but you know, that's not vocal. So I don't know. I think it should be the middle ground. I shouldn't. No conversation at all. Obviously, that would be ideal. I mean, the ideal squash match is no calls, no comments, no nothing. But that's just not in the nature of our game. So, and I think it, yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. Maybe it's a bit too far, but we'll see how it plans out in the future.
Yeah, I saw. I think it was. I watched the match last night. It was Gohar and Taib. And I agree with you 100%. As long as it's not disrespectful, there has to be some wiggle room for the player to communicate. And what happened in the Gohar match, I think Gohar had on successive points sort of questioned the official and questioned again and again. And then he gave her a conduct warning after she continued. So I think if you continue to go on and on and on, then that maybe that warrants what they're now doing with the conduct warnings.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like a conduct warning should be like if you go for a dissent and you just sometimes you as a player, you're even just talking to yourself. And if they start picking up on self-talk, basically, yeah, I mean, where do you put the limit? Like, I mean, it's a tough one, right? So, but if you, I mean, approach the ref in an aggressive way and hit your racket on the wall or something. I don't know, like that of course I think shouldn't be part of it. But I mean if you just say oh that's the wrong call, then that's just your opinion, I feel. Like I mean and I don't think
You
you
should be able
harm.
to voice your opinion, shouldn't you? As long as it's not, as long as you don't go overboard with it.
No, I mean, if you just say I disagree, I mean, that's your opinion. I mean, you're not going to change the outcome of the decision anyway. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the PSA is onto something bigger with this, and which I don't know. And I just say from my standpoint, from what I know, I feel like you should be allowed to say something. But yeah, with guidelines, obviously.
I think I agree with you. There should be some wiggle room there, as long as we're not being disrespectful and wasting time with it. But now, before you go, Dimitri, I think the last time, and I haven't seen much of this from you recently. The last time you came on, you had a couple of acting. You were doing some spoofs of movies. One was Miami Vice, and the other one was a squat in a squash setting. It was like from Top Gun, it might have been, I think. But I haven't seen anything recently. Have you put your acting career on the back burner?
No. I'm working actually on a bigger project, which I've maybe is released towards the end of this summer.
Okay.
But we'll see. We'll see
Well,
how it goes.
is it something along the lines of what you'd produced before, like a spoof or sort of remake of
Yeah, it's certainly. I mean, it's no secret that I really like the 80s, and maybe it's like I don't want to spoil it too much, but I think that's what I can hint. Like it's going to be something in that sort of way. But I'll try. I mean, it should be couple of levels up from the previous ones, so
Oh wow! Well, those are the previous ones were fairly they were fairly good. I was going to make a pitch to you because there's I'm a big movie buff as well. You've seen the 80, I think it's maybe late 80s or early 90s. I think it might be early 90s. The movie Goodfellas, yes.
yeah, of course, yeah,
Okay,
of
so this is
course.
the pitch. It's one of my favorite scenes. It's been on Instagram a lot lately. It's when Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro and Ray Liotta, they're in the bar, and this other older mafia guy, he was just released. I think he was quite powerful. He was released, and he didn't get along well with Pesci. And they're at the bar, and the guy, he says to him, "Oh yeah," he's talking to everybody, "Oh yeah, I remember you, Joe. You know, back in the day, they used to call you Spit Shine Tommy. You used to shine sign used to shine shoes. You were so good. You used to make them look like mirrors, right?" And he was embarrassed, right? The whole
Of
scene is
course.
quite interesting. You should do something along those lines. Remake that one.
You know, maybe it's in there, maybe it's not. Who knows? Like, I'm not gonna spoil it too much, but I promise it will be entertaining for sure. What it will be, so
All
we'll
right.
see what it will be.
All right, Dimitri, really glad we had the opportunity to catch up, and I'm really happy that you're back playing some really good squash again. And you had a bit of a misfortune there in October of last year, but like you said, it's a learning experience and we move forward. So just want to wish you all the best
Thank
going
you very
forward.
much, Joe. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.